I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we talking about today, Mike?
Today we would talk about dispersed camping, or where you can or cannot, or how to prep for dispersed camping.
Yeah, timely, because we just ran into this.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I would say that's a good topic.
Yeah. So, now we have we have one night of experience with this now. So,
well, kind of two.
Kind of two. Yes.
So, but yeah, no, this is great. I mean, this is one, oh, we said it during the water episode, right? Like, this is probably one of the ones we should have covered very right. early on.
Well, I mean, realistically, maybe not so much. Every trip we have needed water. Not every episode or every trip have we needed to disperse camp. So maybe don't cover it as soon, but it's definitely a topic worth covering because it comes up.
Okay, but not to tell you you're wrong, but we
have done it like actually almost three times now. So,
well, and the thing is, like, every time we go, we're figuring out, can I camp here? What are the rules with camping here? We might not be doing dispersed camping every time, but you need to know, like, can you do dispersed camping? Can you not do dispersed camping?
Right.
How
okay.
close are you to XYZ?
Do I really have to go 12 miles to get to my next spot? Like, yeah.
Do I need a permit? Do I need to print something off at home before I go? You know, like all that sort of stuff. So, like, I do think.
Yeah.
I mean, at least in my head, those are some of the things that we're going to cover today. Like, all of the rules, not just like the dispersed camping ones.
So, this is kind of going to be adjacent to our planning episode. Like,
yes.
So, like, we covered, like, how we initially go about our planning, but this is going to go a little bit deeper because this is going to get into actually where you are stopping for the night.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, let's get into more of that, get into more of, like, because, like, in our planning one, planning was, like, the trip overall, right?
Right.
Part of that, or a section of that planning for the overall trip is, where are you stopping for the night? And then where are you stopping for the night directly goes into, can I stop there for the night?
Right. Is this legally allowed?
Yeah. Is it legally allowed? Is it socially acceptable? Is like, what do you need before you go? Who do you got to call and talk to? Like all that stuff. So let's kind of maybe go through some of that and see, I guess, where that conversation takes us. So where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, if we're going to cover the whole gambit of can I set up camp here, then maybe we should differentiate between, like, reserved site camping, first come, first serve camping, but on an actual site, dispersed camping, which is a mile out from a designated camp area.
Yeah.
But so, like, there's different definitions or different ways to go about actually setting up camp and where you can, right?
Yep.
So, your average run-of-the-mill camper, state park, let's say, or county park, whatever, they have, you go online, you reserve a site for these dates, you know you're going there, it's all good. Barring weather, if you want to cancel because of weather, whatever. You have a site set, picnic table, fire ring, you've got amenities, maybe a bathroom, water, electricity, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Then there's the, I'm going to say state forest campgrounds, that's what we have here in Michigan, which are more of a first come, first serve. There's maybe 20 sites, maybe 12, maybe 30, depending on the size of the park or whatever, and the lake.
Less amenities.
Oh, yeah. It's a vault.
A little more off the beaten path.
A vault toilet. It's down, like, 13 dirt roads.
right. You probably can't get your camper down there and right. back to it even if you wanted to.
So it's got like a water pump. It's not dipping in the lake, but it's a water yep. pump. So like it's not all the best amenities if you glamp like we do from, you know, for the most yep. of our summer. And then there's the, okay, well, we're just out in the woods and now we got to set up camp somewhere. That's the dispersed camping that I call it dispersed camping. I don't know if other people call it something else, but so those are more or less the methods of camping that I'm used to. There might be more, I guess, but that's just kind of the realm of possibilities that I'm aware of.
Right. So then, like, when you and I started, and I yep. know everybody's sick of hearing us talk about the Porcupine Mountains because we talk about the Porcupine Mountains all the time, but, like, back when we started and didn't know what we were doing, didn't know what to look into, didn't really know how to even get started, right? So, like, we just kind of picked a spot, mm-hmm. Porcupine Mountains, and, like, I've always wanted to go to the Porcupine Mountains. Lived in Michigan my whole life, never been there. Let's go there.
I'd never heard okay. of them, so I was happy to go.
So then you figure out, like, okay, the Porcupine Mountains is a state park.
Right.
Okay, awesome. Great. It's a state park. Well, then, because it's a state park, there are designated camp spots yep. that you have to reserve in advance. Like, you can't just go out there, go as far as you want to go for the day, find a spot to pitch your tent.
Right.
Pitch tent and you'd be good for the night, or hammock, or well, whatever it is you're using.
Keep in mind, there is the modern campground there too. So it's not like, it's not all hike-in camping. They do have the modern campground true. There too. So
that's true. Yeah. So, but like for the backpacker, the backcountry stuff, like if you're out hiking and you're out in the backcountry and you're hiking along, even then you can't just pitch a tent wherever you want to.
Right.
Like the rules say for there, we have these designated spots for you to camp. You need to reserve them in advance.
Yeah. And so they, we reserved them. They recommend you have your pass or your permit on display when you're on your site. So you had it hanging from our right. tent. Nobody's walking through, yep. realistically.
Nobody's walking through. There ain't no DNR out there. I mean, there probably is at some point. We didn't right. see any of them.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that was the whole thing. So like before we went up there, printed out this pass. Mike was going to laminate it because he's got a laminator. And we just put it in a Ziploc bag. Worked just as well. But it wasn't just like a last minute we can go and expect this campsite to be empty. Like you right. had to reserve it. And you had to have your permit. And you had to have all the things and your documentation. And if you reserved BC1, you had to stay on BC1. Yep. If you reserved... I don't remember what the other initials were for the other ones.
ML2, Mirror Lake we were on. Lake of the Clouds yep. we were on LOC. Yeah, we were on Governor's Peak. That was GP.
GP, yep, okay.
Yep, so?
But we had to reserve those before we get there. Now, are there times of the year where maybe you don't have to reserve them in advance?
Sure.
It's the UP. It's probably not busy some parts of the year.
I don't know. Porcupine Mountains are a lot closer to Wisconsin and a lot closer to civilization than they are to actual Michigan civilization.
Yeah, this is true.
So yes. So it, you were thinking as like you look at Michigan on the map and like you forget that the UP is actually connected to shit.
Right.
So where it's connected to shit is where there's more civilization and they can get there within like an hour or two drive.
Sure. Okay. Right. I forget that because it took us like 10 hours to get there. Right. So it was a bit of a trek. But so anyway, I say all of that to say this was state land, but not just like any state land, like not just like go out and pitch a tent anywhere. Like there's right. rules for this state park that you have to reserve a spot.
Well,
we had to figure that out and how that looks and which spots we were going to go to before we went. Like,
and that first site too, Jesus Christ, we walked past that thing like three or four times.
We walked past it three or four times. Didn't know what we were looking for. Again, Mike and I come from like a glamping background. Usually the pavement has a number painted on it. And it's very obvious where your campsite is. Not always the case out in the woods.
We found the adjoining, not the adjoining, but the neighboring campsites, which in the backcountry are like a quarter mile or an eighth of a mile mm-hmm. apart. And we found those, no problem. But we walked past that was our first night. I'm like, every night cannot be like this.
Right, exactly.
So, anyway, sorry.
No, it's a good point to say. Yeah. Like, if it's your first time out, I don't know how to tell you what your campsite marker is going to look like, because it seems to be different everywhere we go. But they're very easy to walk past. Just a heads up.
Yeah. Well, so one thing I was going to say too is like it's a state park or it's state land, all that. From what I'm finding in Michigan is that most state land is reservable. They recommend you have a reservation and let them know who's going to be there, how long you're going to be there, that kind of stuff. The national forests or the federal campgrounds are the ones that are more the come in, fill out this little form, pay your money, honor system type camping is the more or less what I have found. I could be wrong.
I agree, but I also disagree. Like, I really think this goes back to, you're going to have to do your own research. There it is. We got in. How far in are we?
11
do your own research. But, like, it's going to depend on, are you going into a state park? Are you going into a state forest?
Right.
Are you just going onto state land? Are you going onto a federal park? Are you going onto federal land? Are you going onto a national lakeshore? Like, it really does depend.
Are you going?
I don't
want to
say like
property?
All of your state land is this and all of your federal land is this, because like there's different types of all those right. lands even.
Well, and some of the trail goes on private property. Trails in general go on private property.
Yes.
I know for a fact that the North Country Trail goes onto private property.
And 100%
of that. So know if you're going to be crossing over there, then have a good sense of your bearings of, okay, now I'm on private land. I probably should not set up camp here unless I find the owner and ask him.
Right.
Him or her.
Well, and in the private land, I'm going to make a generalized statement, so this is not like 100% of the time, but what I have noticed on the trail that we have been on, right, mm-hmm. is if it's going through private land and they really kind of don't want you on that private land, it seems to be marked pretty well. Like,
it's
private
true.
Property, no
it's
trespassing, true. Or here's a fence, like, right. please don't
That's
cross
fair.
This
okay.
fence line. I agree. Know if you're going to be adjacent to private property, look at a map ahead of time, try to figure out, you know, if you're, we talked about it in the water one, you know, if I know I'm going to try to get to this river, right? Well, then let me maybe look at some other maps so I can figure out, is the land on the trail close to that river? Is it state land? Is it private land? If it's private land, you're not going to know until you go whether you're really allowed to set up camp
True.
There. Like, maybe
yeah.
there's we've talked about, like, you know, sometimes you'll be walking through the woods and you will see a spot. It's not a real campsite. It's not a designated reservable spot or whatever, but like clearly people have been camping.
There's evidence, yeah.
There's evidence. The weeds are beaten down, or the dirt's got a nice flat spot where everybody's setting up their tent.
There's rocks
clearly
to form
people
a fire ring. Like,
there's rocks yeah. to form a fire ring. Right next to that, there's a log that people have been using for a bench.
Right.
Like, there's some obvious clues that people have been setting up camp there. If you're on private property, or you think you could be on private property, and you see that sort of thing, and you're comfortable setting up camp there, I'd say you're probably okay too. But if I was just trekking along and I got a bunch of no trespassing signs,
right,
I'm not sure I would stop there and set up
yeah.
camp.
So somebody took the time to put those signs up. They care about their land. Don't go and destroy somebody's property.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Well, and as you and I know, the North Country Trail, I mean, it gets rerouted based on, like, somebody new buys a piece of property and they don't want the trail going through their property anymore, right? Right. Like, I know the people that maintain the maps for that trail, I know they will reroute right. the trail, whether it's walking down the road for a bit or whether it's whatever. So I would say if you're, like, butting up against to a bunch of no trespassing signs, use some extra caution.
Right.
Like, clearly somebody doesn't want you on their property.
See, I feel like if I mm-hmm. owned land that I knew had this the North Country Trail running through it, I'd probably, like, make a nice campsite out
there. Okay, like, if it were would, me.
It was me, like.
I'd be putting, like, a water spigot out there. Here's the Wi-Fi password. Like, please come up and grab a soda from the fridge or a right. shot of whiskey or whatever.
Right.
I feel like that would be a selling point for me to buy a piece of property that the North Country Trail went through. Like, oh, right. the trail's in my backyard? Let me buy this property. You and I are hikers, though. Like, right. I don't think like,
oh, by all means, it's only a quarter mile to the house. Come say hi.
Right. Do you need a shower? Right. Do you want a real bathroom? Do you just need to wash your hands? Like, come on up.
Like, got plenty That's of water. I and, like, I got. You want real food for the night? Like, right. here's my phone number. If you're coming to stay here in advance, like, you just let me know. We'll party. Right.
Also, please tell me stories. I would love to hear about your trip. Where are you coming from? What's your trail name? Like, all the things. I right. want to know. And then, yes, I agree. If it were me and it were my property, I'd be like, okay, here's this well-manicured camp spot for right. you to stay at for the night. I've got fresh drinking water here for you. And, like, yeah, 100%. But
we're not everybody.
That is not the general public. And you and I enjoy this sort of right. stuff, you know. But, I mean, and that gets back into, like we've talked about before, the leave no trace principles too, oh, right? Yeah. So yeah. then you've got, you know, if you're butting up against private property, for sure, don't be leaving trash out there. Try to stay on the trail if they're kind enough to let you go through their property. Like, all right. that sort of stuff comes into play too.
Yep. No, we're, like, if you're on their property, do your due diligence, try to get off of the property if it's far enough, close enough to, like, and do your number twos,
right.
all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Don't, well, I mean, in nature in general, just not just on private property, don't beat it up. Don't make it look like you've been there before. If it's,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, 100%. I mean, that's like we were saying, it's the leave no trace stuff, right? Like, really right. try to the best right. of your ability. If you can get through this piece of land and nobody would ever know you were walking through there, that's ideal.
Right.
That's the ideal thing. Leave it as good or better than you found it. You right. know?
Like,
which gets a little bit outside of our, like, camping topic, but
right.
it's adjacent.
Well, we always have to hit the leave no trace. We always have to leave hit the do your own research. So
I know, because we had to pick up trash on this last one.
I don't think we're going to get into trekking poles on this one. So
yeah, I don't think on this one we will. But anyway, so back to the whole thing. So, like, as part of your planning, figure out what yeah. types of land are you going through. Are you staying entirely in a state park? You know, are you doing a loop and the whole thing is in a state park? Are you doing a loop and the whole thing is on federal property? If it is, who manages that federal or state property? Like, there could be, like, there's multiple agencies, right? Like, so there's your state DNR, there's the National Park Service, there's the Bureau of Land Management, there's U.S. Forestry. Like, there's all these different places. It could be, is it county land? Are you in a specific county and it's on county property?
Yep.
Is it, you know, are you in a different country and you don't have any of these, but you've got your own sort of, like, equivalent to what we would call a Department of Natural Resources? Like, who owns the land that you're going to be hiking on?
Right.
They're the ones that are going to make up the rules for what type of camping. So are you going to have to stay in a specific campsite, like we were saying, or can you just go out into the woods and set up a camp wherever you want to, which Mike and I do not have a lot of experience with, but we did that this last trip we were on.
We did. But in all fairness, before we did that, when I was planning the trip, I called because I knew we were staying on one of the backcountry sites in the state park. So I called the DNR because they were not, okay. It wasn't letting me book it online. I figured out it was my error, but, so I called and I booked it with the lady over the phone, saved me the $8 reservation fee. So if you can call, do it. So I reserved the backcountry site that they had in the state park for the night that we knew we were going to stay there. And then I just verified. I said, we are the closest place that we are camping, but from night one to night three, night one was 15 or more miles away. And I said, we really want to cut that in half. I don't see a camp spot. I don't see this. And she goes, oh no, you're fine to disperse camp out there. And I'm like, she said, once you're in the state park lines, they're not going to kick you out if you have to. They prefer it to be off of the state park land. So.
Okay. Well, I appreciate her saying that because that was the rule that I operated under the year that we were, unable to finish our original.
Right. Yeah. So
I'm like, ain't nobody coming out here to kick us off.
Right. So. They're not going to know. Basically, because they're not sending people out there unless staff, right? Like, unless they're sending a search party. But they could
be sending birds, and birds aren't real in their surveillance thing, so they could be sending a bird. True.
We did see a lot of birds. But yeah, so she did say that she confirmed my initial assumption of that we could just disperse camp, not necessarily wherever we wanted, but like, as long as it wasn't on the state land, it wasn't on private land. She even said 200 feet from the water source and like all that kind of stuff. So,
okay. So that brings up one of the things that I specifically wanted to talk about. So, okay. Yeah. So let's pretend you're out there. You're on the type of land where you can just set up camp wherever. Mm-hmm. Right. One of the things that you and I talk about quite a bit is, when we camp places, we try our damnedest to make sure we are close to a water source.
Yeah.
Close is a relative term. So
right.
When you camp, like you can't camp, I don't want to say can't, you are not supposed to camp right on the lake.
No, I'm going to say you can camp right on the lake because one of our actual sites, the one year in the Pictured Rocks, was very close to the water. We had the little snapping turtle there.
But it was on a designated spot that they have designated. Right. That's okay. So what I read is they don't want you, if you're dispersed, right?
Right.
Like if you're blazing your own trail, you're setting up camp in a spot for the first time. You're not in one of these, like, everybody's been using this spot, so we're going to use this spot too. If you're making your brand new all by yourself one, they don't want you camping 200 feet is what I have read. They want you 200 feet, basically, partly for the bath. I mean, so that you can use the bathroom and you're not contaminating the water source.
Right.
But then also, they don't want you, what's the word? They don't want you to encourage erosion or like,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Affect the shoreline, or I don't know what the word is that I'm trying to come up with for that.
Is the right word, or yeah?
But like, they don't want you to like impact the shoreline.
Right.
So to not impact that, they want you at least 200 feet, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's kind of a lot. So, you know, it's like, what? It's a football field is 300 feet. So give or take, it's like almost a football field away from the lake.
Gets don't say like 30 right yard on line. The lake. Sports.
Roughly. Sure. I'll take your word for it. Yards to feet. I'm not super good with the math, but you know,
Yeah, so the campsite that we had where we were pretty much right on the water, it was a designated camp spot. I made sure, like, before I knew there was a vault toilet, it was before I read the sign and everything on the thing.
Right.
Made my own little vault toilet there, my own little toilet. But I made sure I walked a good distance away from the water before I did my business. So
right.
Especially because
that one had neighbors, so
it had neighbors, and there was a snapping turtle in the lake right behind us. So
yeah, also not good for going to the bathroom.
I didn't want the turtles meeting.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so I mean, that's just some things to keep in mind. So, like, you want to be near a water source, mm-hmm. but maybe, like, maybe not right on top of a water source. So, like, a little bit away.
Right.
And then the other things that I have read is, like, so Michigan is pretty consistent with, like, the whole state. Like, they generally want you to be about 200 feet away from the water source, unless it's one of those designated ones. From what I have read, some states are much stricter and have much further requirements than that. So okay. I would definitely check whatever state or country you're in. One of the things that I would recommend looking up before you go is, what are the rules where you're going to go? Like, whoever's managing that land, do they have more strict rules than...
Well, and the main reason behind it, too, not just because it's a rule. It's a rule or a law for a reason, because either it's a more nature-populated area. There's bigger animals and other animals out there that are doing their business, because they don't care if they're doing it in the water, around the water, whatever.
Sure.
And it gets into the water source. So it contaminates the water.
Yeah.
So they don't want us to add to that impact, because
correct
that yes. water source is already as contaminated as it is naturally. So why are we going to unnaturally just, I'm out here for a good time, I'm gonna poop in the water.
Well, and then I mean, and not to get into pooping, because we had a whole episode on pooping, but like, find out if you are allowed to even just dig a cat hole.
Right.
Or do you need to take your waste disposal bags? Like,
right.
there are places that you might be going where you're not even allowed to just poop in the woods. You right. have to poop in a bag and take it out with you.
They, where we go, they recommend you at least carry out your toilet paper. They would correct. Prefer you to carry out your poop, but it's not required.
Yeah.
Yet. So I make sure to dig a little deeper.
I've been reading some things, and they're like, some of these places are getting a little bit overpopulated and over-traveled, which like, I like. Great. I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast, is we're like, come out and do this. It's super fun, and you'll love it.
Just not near me. No.
Preferably 200 feet away from me. But because more people are getting into it, and because it is a popular thing to do, especially in this day and age when everybody's looking for like any excuse to like just disconnect from society.
Yeah. Just go figure.
Part of the pitfalls of that is if you got a bunch of people pooping out in the woods, we mm-hmm. might all have to start carrying it out with us. So all of that to say, wherever you're setting up camp, look and see what the bathroom rules are there. Do they have a designated vault toilet? Do they have, can you dig a cat hole? Do you got to carry out your teepee? All the things that go with that. For more about that, listen to our Pooping in the Woods episode. But
and I will say this, too, is if there is a vault toilet, I think we said this on the Pooping in the Woods, too, but if there is a vault toilet, at least check it out and try to use it. It might be overrun with insects and all that kind of stuff, and you don't want to put your beehole near it. That's fine. I've had those experiences, too. But
we have had those experiences, but in all fairness, the last one we went to and encountered
that was
super nice. Maybe the best bathroom I've ever used. Like, gorgeous view.
I mean, well, as far as the view goes, yeah, it's probably the best. I don't know that I'd say it's the best bathroom I've ever used.
I mean, okay, was it the cleanest? Probably not the cleanest, but it was certainly the best view I've ever seen from a bathroom.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about, like, just being out there in the middle of nature doing your business. I mean,
it's nice that they put a throne out there for you to sit on.
So. Yeah. Well, nice and for a reason, right? Well, like, to keep everything contained. Yep. So there's all that. But then, just back to, like, your dispersed camping, right? Like, find out how close to the water source you can or cannot be. The other considerations to have if you are dispersed camping and picking your own spot, not using one that's clearly what other people have used, but like just you're making a new spot, right?
Right.
Pay attention to back to kind of the leave no trace type of idea is there sensitive vegetation there? Are you going to trample a bunch of stuff that maybe you shouldn't trample because it's trying to regrow?
Right.
Or, you know, like just try to be mindful. Like, find a clearing, find a spot that maybe you're going to have the least amount of impact if you set up your tent there. Mike and I have said before, neither one of us are used to, like, hammock camping. Like, we both have tents, and we're not sleeping in a hammock. So maybe that's less of a concern if you're in a hammock where you're not trampling stuff down. But, again, maybe check out the trees that you're able to attach to. Like, are these good trees that you should be attaching your hammock to? Is it in an area where, you know, are you going to be trampling through a bunch of stuff that maybe you shouldn't be trampling through in order to get to those trees?
Right.
So is it that sort of stuff.
Is it wetlands? Is it, like, all these ferns and everything you're going to be trampling over? Like, do your best. Like Sean said, find a clearing if you can. There are times, I'm sure, if you're in dire straits and you're just, I'm exhausted, I can't go anymore, I'm setting up camp here, I'm not going to make it. Do what you got to do to make it. But.
Absolutely. But. And we talked about that, like, on our, when you and I have talked in the past about the night that we just couldn't go on, right? Like, we got to our limit one night.
Yeah.
Couldn't go on and set up camp in a spot we weren't, quote unquote, supposed to. Because you were only supposed to camp in a designated spot.
We were a mile away from camp, at least three quarters of a mile.
Close to a mile.
We were close to a mile, but we were on the trail. But we were on the trail because it was a wide enough spot at the point where we were not doing more damage to the trail.
That's exactly where I was going with it, though. Yeah. Is like we made sure, like, okay, this area that I'm putting my tent footprint is already dirt. Like, I'm not trampling a bunch of stuff. Like, I'm not traipsing out into the woods. Was it probably inconvenient for the people that did walk by after we had our tent set up? Probably a little bit.
I counted them. There was only two. They questioned it. It was after dark, by the way. I think they were at the lake.
It was after dark. So. Yep. So was it a great spot? It wasn't a great spot, but as far as leave no trace goes, it probably was the best spot we could do for leaving no trace.
It was on the highest land, so we stayed dry because it was raining.
It was raining, and that's another consideration to have is, can I set up camp here? Don't fucking set your camp up in the low spot.
Right. Well, don't set it up in the low spot, especially if that, like, if you see, like, there's this barren spot over here, but it's a little sandy, and you don't want to set up camp there, but then, like, down this little path or here, there's, like, this, all these ferns growing, but it's, like, really level and everything's, like, don't go set up camp down there. There's a reason those ferns are growing. They get lots of water.
Right.
So, especially if it's supposed to rain that night, make sure you set up camp. Sand is fine. It's actually comfortable to sleep on. So
it's actually comfortable to sleep on. Doesn't necessarily hold your tent stakes too well.
Yeah, but you're holding it down.
Yeah,
when you're in it.
I mean, do what you got to do. I mean, figure it out.
Yeah.
Go where you gotta go. But, like, yeah, so don't set up in the low spot. The other thing, so even in this last trip that Mike and I took, we had a night where there was, like, fairly decent storms that came through.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were in a designated camp site. So it was a first-come, first-serve. We were lucky enough to get a first-come, first-serve spot. We got there early enough that it wasn't full. We knew rain was coming.
Yeah.
Made sure not to set up in the low spot.
Yep.
But then the other thing that I ran into when we were not setting up in the low spot is that then it's like, okay, well, now I'm next to this tree.
Yeah.
And there were, like, visibly dead limbs in the tree.
Yep.
And we knew at least a good rain, possibly a storm was coming. So it's like, okay, so what's the lesser of the two evils? How bad do we think it's going to get? Can I set up camp here reasonably believing that none of these branches are going to fall on me in the middle of the night? Spoiler alert, I had something fall on me in the middle of the night. Wound up being a very small branch, was not a huge big branch, so it wasn't a huge ordeal. But once that branch fell and hit the tent, now my tent started leaking. Because now, like, that barrier had been broken.
You said the tent started leaking. I think you peed yourself. You were scared.
Well, I mean, there's no way to know. There's no way to know, and there's no way to, like, verify either way. So
everything was wet. Doesn't
matter. Full disclosure, it might have scared the piss out of me, because it did scare me half to death. I thought I was dying. I didn't know if I was getting attacked by a bear or what. It was just like rain, 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 and then something hit the tent. Could be when my tent pole broke.
Could be when my tent pole broke. Your tent pole broke, yep.
Could have been when I cracked my tent pole.
Yeah, very well could be.
So, I mean, but that's another thing to think about. Like, so, okay, not only can you set up camp here.
Should you
set up camp here? Like, look out for some of those pitfalls of, are you in a spot that's easily going to be underwater? Are you near a tree that's going to cause problems for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, branches falling, high wind, lightning, all those sorts of things. Other things to consider when you're trying to pick a spot.
Right. That's the other thing that you mentioned. You looked up and you saw the dead limbs. I forgot to look up. Like, I look at the ground, like, where's the high spot? Where do I want to be? And
in all fairness, I was proud of us for looking for the high spot, like to think ahead far enough. Because like
knew rain was coming.
We knew rain was coming, but also normally we have campers, and I don't really pay attention to that too much because I'm in a camper,
right?
So
camper's 3 feet off the ground,
right? It's not going to flood that bad. I have watched out the window as people in tents have been underwater because of rainstorms, and it's like, oh, it sucks for them. Right. So I was proud of us for even thinking that far ahead, but I did look up and I did see the branch, and it's like, okay, well, it's been up there this long. I don't think it's going to get that bad. It should be fine.
Yeah, when I'm in a tent, going back to my tent camping days before I got the camper, we made the mistake the one night of putting our tent in a low spot on the site and in the park. With, like, our site was the lowest spot in the park, so like we flooded bad. So
yeah,
I've since then pay attention to the high spot of where I'm around. Like, you're within your boundaries of your campsite, let's say, but you can find the high spot to where at least water will go around you or past you. Sure. So, but I always forget to look up to, which is a real threat. Like, if you've got a storm coming through, those loose or dead branches can come down. And it might not even be from the tree that's right above you. Yeah. Like, so that, I mean, that's the other thing. Our first trip in the Porkies, I posted on the Porkies page. I heard loud thing. I was like, it's either a gunshot, but we're out in the wilderness and there's probably not too many guns out here.
Honest to God, when I heard it, we must have heard the same thing. Honest to God, I thought it was a gunshot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, it was that loud. It woke me up from a dead sleep. I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah,
I don't know what that was, but it was loud as hell.
It was confirmed on the page that I posted that too. That there was a tree that came down, like a whole tree, whole ass tree that came down near us. Not real near us. It was
close enough that we heard it.
Close enough, like a mile or whatever. A tree came down in the woods. I heard it. So that ends that question.
That answers the question: if a tree falls in the woods,
yeah.
I mean, but we were around here. We were, so it does make a noise.
Yeah. Damn it.
Okay.
It doesn't answer that. God damn it.
Okay.
All right. No, we'll still figure that one out. But, I mean, that's all I have, other than the other thing is to know what kind of wildlife you could potentially run into out in the backcountry too, or in that area.
Yeah, good point.
Do you know if are there moose? Are there bear? Are there deer? Like, what are you, foxes, wolves? Like, what do you got? What's in that area? Know how to protect your gear and yourself from it. And, and also know how to determine whether you might be stumbling upon a den, and don't set your gear right on top of it.
I would say I'm probably not super good at that. Like, I don't necessarily know what wildlife.
And we passed several. I think they were fox dens. I'm not 100% sure. They were some kind of animal den.
I think they were badger.
They might have been badger. Okay.
Badger or, I don't know why, but in my head I want to say it was wolverine, but I don't think we have a lot of wolverines in Michigan.
We are the Michigan Wolverines, so.
No, I know, but I think.
I don't think in the world. I don't. We were in the UP.
It's outside of my knowledge. Yeah.
But anyway, but granted, there were wildlife holes. Like, there was evidence of life, like, or evidence of somebody using these tunnel systems, whatever, or something.
Would not set up right on top of that. I would know enough not to put my tent on top of that hole. Yes.
So just make sure that, yeah, if there's a hole in nature, there's usually a reason. So don't go near that hole.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay. You do you.
I mean, depending on the context. But yeah, I mean, so those are like the main things. But like you're saying, no, even though this isn't necessarily like exactly like, can you set up camp here? Wherever you're setting up camp, no. Do you need a bear canister? Is a bear, you know, can you just sling your food up over a tree? That sort of stuff. Like, that's all important to know of the areas that you're going to be in. I would try my hardest not to be too close to other campers to the best of your ability. Like, let's face it, we're all going out there to a little bit get away from society.
Just get away. Yep.
So, you know, if you're going with a group of friends or whatever and you guys want to be together, that's fine. But if you come upon strangers, they may or may not want you too close to them.
Yeah.
At the same time, I wouldn't get too close to roads.
Or the trail.
I know personally, sometimes you're out in the woods long enough where it's like, oh, thank God there's a road, there's civilization, right? Like, you almost, like, you're out by yourself for so long that it's almost nice to be near a road, but I don't know if I would set up my camp near a road, because let's face it, a lot of these areas we hike in are fairly remote. What if somebody swerves to avoid a moose, or swerves to avoid a bear, or swerves to avoid a deer? Or just loses control, or whatever the situation is, I don't think I would recommend being so close to a road that a vehicle could get to you in the event that it left the road.
Might have had too much grandpa's cough medicine, you know?
Might have had, you know, I mean, let's be honest, people are out there doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Boozing and cruising.
So, you know, just something to be mindful of, like, how close to some of that stuff are you? A good thing to know before you go, again, not directly related to can you camp there, but like, what's the fire rules? Can you have a fire there? Can you not have a fire there? That might impact whether or not you want to set up camp there.
On your way, I mean, we all pass the signs. Well, at least we do. We usually pass at least one sign on our way to camp somewhere. The fire danger for the day or whatever. Pay attention to that. Your weather apps usually have something along those lines. If it's been really dry in that area, do your research on that part of it too. If it's super dry, you're in a drought. And we've gone camping just last year when Canada was on fire. And there was a super bad drought even where we were at. And they're like, we're not selling firewood. There is no fires. If you brought your own firewood and we see a fire, we will kick you out. Like, they were not taking it lightly, because it was dry. Like, the grass was
so
just
dry. It was like you could sneeze and start a fire. It was so bad last year.
I assume that everybody that listens to this is somewhat mindful, or wants to be mindful of preserving nature and like helping nature be nature. So I assume, but if it didn't cross your mind or anything like that, if it's super, super dry, and you know you're going back country camping, maybe leave your stove at home and bring something that you can eat, granola bars. You bring something like your Smush PB&J. Like, bring something
apple, a banana, whatever.
Bring something that doesn't require any kind of a flame, because the smallest thing can set things off. So, if your canister tips over and catches a leaf on fire, and that catches, you know, it just takes a spark. So.
And another thing, like, if you don't know or you can't find online, a lot of the places that Mike and I go, and I assume it's similar around the country, and I'm hoping it's similar around the world. I guess I don't really know, but like, is there a local DNR station? Is there a local visitor center? Is there a local ranger station? Like, trust me when I say those people are more than happy to talk to you about you going backpacking, and like, where can I set up camp? What are the rules? What do I got to do? Do I need a permit? Those people, do not be afraid to approach them and ask questions. A, that's their job, but also generally speaking, if that's your job, you enjoy talking to other people that are into this type of thing. And they're everyone that Mike and I have ever talked to that we've needed to ask questions, they're more than happy to answer those questions for you.
Oh yeah.
You were you called the one to make sure, like, okay, if I'm outside the state park, can I camp here? Very happy to give you an answer to that, right?
Like, I don't think they talk to a lot of people. I think they're happy to talk to people.
Right.
So they're happy to give the information they have. They've taken a lot of training for the information that they have. So
yeah.
Utilize it.
And they're in this line of work. They're interested in it. They want to talk to people. They want to know, hey, where are you coming from? What are you doing? Maybe even a little bit more chatty than you want them to be. But like, they are a wealth of knowledge about the area. Like, that's their whole job, is to know about all this stuff.
Well, and they're stationed in the area that you're going to. So they will know. Yeah, they will know.
Right. The only other thing that I take into consideration, me personally, Sean, when I'm looking for a spot to camp, do I have cell signal there?
Yeah, see, I tend to hope. I don't know why I hope to have cell signal. Maybe I want to keep my Wordle going. I don't know. but I think that's pretty much the reason that I'm on a good streak on my Wordle. I want to make sure I have my Wordle going. So, but other than that, I don't want to contact anybody.
Well, I mean, okay. And I guess let me phrase it more like this. Like, it's not going to make or break whether I stay there that night, but if I can go 200 feet to the left or 200 feet to the right, and I have a bar of service 200 feet to the right and zero bars 200 feet to the left, I'm probably going to pick the one to the right, just to check in with loved ones, to say, like, hey, I've made it to camp, I'm still safe, all that sort of stuff.
I took that wrong then. I thought you were saying, like, you were, like, in your planning, you were looking up if there was cell signal.
No. Because, like, look, I plan on there not being cell phone signal there. But sometimes it's nice. You know, like, are you at the bottom of a hill or at the top of the hill? At the top of the hill, maybe you have cell signal. At the bottom of the hill, maybe you don't.
Well, and at the bottom of the hill, you probably
don't want people to be able to contact you. And in that case, go to the bottom.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I like to be able to check in with my husband, at least let him know we're okay so that he's not worried.
You can always hike or walk up there, send a text message, say spotty signal.
This is true. This is true. But at the end of the day, I'm not trying to walk any further than I've already walked.
I mean, it's on you. It's up to you.
So, anyway, all of that to say, if I could sum the whole thing up in one thing, do your own research.
Do your own research. Know where you're going. And look up where, because every area is different. These are just things that we do and we have experienced in the limited time that we've been doing this. So just just pay attention. Don't do more damage than you have to. And if you can,
find a spot that's already been used, and the first time you set one up that's all by yourself, like that you're just going out there not reserving a spot, if you've never done it before, it's going to feel like you're doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
At least it did to me.
Yep.
Like, I'm like, oh, somebody's going to come in here and tell us we're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
It turns out you're not. Like, you're allowed to do that.
Yep. You're allowed to do that.
You're doing something wrong.
And realistically, the only people that are out there, they're just going to be other people that are trying to get to their camp or back to their back to their camp, whatever. And nobody's got cell signal enough to tell on you, so...
But yeah, no, I mean, just know it is going to feel weird.
Yeah.
Even if you feel weird, as long as you know the rules, you're good to go.
Yep.
Do what the rules allow you to do. Have fun. Be safe.
Yeah.
Think about some of this stuff. Be safe. Have fun.
Just do your due diligence and plan accordingly ahead of time. Pay attention to the weather, all that kind of stuff, and you will be okay.
So, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about anything that Mike or I have said during the course of this podcast, you can reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. We're on all the major socials, at seanmikehike, or directly on our website, which is seanmikehike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast, and feel free to share a friend. We'd love to grow the listener base. So,
sure.
Aside from that,
go take a hike.
yeah, go take a hike, eh? We'll see you in a couple weeks.